Good morning. Welcome to the conference call of Grendene S.A. to announce and analyze the results of the second quarter of 2015. We inform that this conference call will be conducted only in Portuguese with simultaneous translation to English. Right now, all participants are connected in listen-only mode. Later on, we are going to start a Q&A session when instructions for you to participate will be provided. In case you need any assistance during this conference call, please request the help of an operator by pressing star zero. You should also be reminded that this conference call is being recorded and will be available in the website ri.grendene.com.br. Here today with us, we have the leading executives, officers of Grendene, who will also be available to answer your questions. We have Rudimar Dall'Onder, CEO, Gelson Restiroler, VP, and Francisco Schmidt, CFO and IRO, as well as the main managers of the company. We inform that the press release for the second quarter of 2015 is available at the website ri.grendene.com.br in Portuguese and in English. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that forward-looking statements made during this conference call about the operational and financial prospects and estimates of the business companies are forecasts based on the expectations of the management regarding the future of the company. These forward-looking statements are highly dependent on market conditions and on the performance of economic scenario of the country, on the industry, international markets. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Francisco Schmidt, CFO and IRO of Grendene. Please, Mr. Schmidt, you may start.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending another conference call of Grendene to announce the results of the second quarter of 2015, as well as an outlook for the future. As you know, yesterday we published the information regarding this period after the market closed in our press release, which is already available in our investor relations website. I will be brief in my comments, highlighting some of the most relevant aspects of the performance of the second quarter, the economic and financial aspects, and Grendene's prospects, to then pass to our Q&A session. Before I start talking about our performance, I would like to draw attention to the payout of dividends. According to our bylaws, the minimum mandatory dividends is calculated based on 25% of the net profit remaining from the period after the constitutions of the reserves provided in the law, based on the balance calculated on June 30th, 2015, and in accordance with our policy of quarterly anticipation of dividend payout and a policy adopted in 2014, the company will be paying out the second installment of interim dividends regarding the ordinary shareholders meeting to approve the accounts for the business year of 2015, amounting to 43.9 million reais as of August 12th, 2015. The shareholders of Grendene's common shares, GRD3, who were registered in the company on July 29th, the cut-out date. In this manner, Grendene's shares will be traded ex-dividend as of July 30th, 2015, in BMF Bovespa, accumulating in the first half of 2015 the amount of 111 million reais. I would also like to remind you that for 13 years in a row, and with the wide margin, the leadership in the exports of shoes, reaching 37.6% of Brazilian exports in the first half of 2015. Now, let us move on to our performance. The growth in net income of 19.8% in the second quarter and 32.4% in the same period in the first half of this year, comparing it to the same period in the previous year. This was the highlight or the headline of our press release published yesterday, and this is the aspect we want to highlight. In spite of all adverse factors in economic environment, announcing the delivery of these results to our shareholders makes us very proud. We always talk about our products, brands, strategy, and economy as factors that influence and even determine the company's economic performance. But at the end of the day, the measure of our success is in the continuing delivery of robust numbers in the bottom line of our financial statements, which guarantee a good return on our investment. The net income grew from 72.4 million in the second quarter of 2014 to 86.8 million in the second quarter of 2015, with a drop of 4.3% in the net revenue, an increase of 120 basis points in the gross margin, stability in our EBIT margin, that is 9.8%, a drop of 13.7% in the volume of pairs of shoes, and a growth of 460 basis points in the net margin, everything compared to the second quarter of 2014. The exchange rate remained favorable, and in our understanding, with the prospects of favoring even further the conditions for exports in the second half of the year. Considering the effects of the mix and the exchange rate, the prices of the products that were effectively sold have gone up 9.5%, which may be broken down in an increase of 5.7% in a domestic market and 24.4% in a foreign market. Product unit costs, on the other hand, has grown 8.5% as an evidence of the migration of demand to higher value products in this quarter. The drop in the volume of pairs sold in the second quarter of 2015 of 13.7% as compared to the same period in 2014 may be broken down in a drop of 16.4% in the domestic market and 5.5% in the foreign market. The behavior of demand in the domestic market was not a surprise to us, because it was coherent with our indications at the end of the first quarter when we said that sell-in was stable, but sell-out had indications of drop, which confirmed in this quarter when the market demand in the domestic market dropped sharply. However, in accumulated numbers or year-to-date numbers, we observe a drop of Grendene in the domestic market of 2% because we grew 11% in the first quarter, which is below the about 4% drop estimated for the consumption of shoes in Brazil in this period, thereby indicating that, in spite of the drop in volumes, we are still gaining market share. Overall, the gross revenue in the first half of 2015 was slightly below as compared to the first half of 2014, 0.3%. The net revenue grew 2.4%, and the volume, total volume, dropped 6% from 78.5 million pairs as compared to 83.5 million pairs in the first half of 2014. In operation, we also evolved well. The drop in the volume of pairs was accompanied by a drop in COGS of 3.2% and higher unit prices by 5.9%, and operating expenses were kept under control with slight elevation of 1.3%, well below the inflation in this period. In this manner, we have obtained an increase in the gross margin of 320 basis points and an EBIT margin of 350 basis points. The net margin, on the other hand, reinforced by financial revenues, we advanced 550 basis points with an increase of 32.4% in the net income and 31.4% in EBIT. Once again, a record in all first halves of Grendene. With these results, the generation of operational cash in the first half was 439.6 million, resulting in a net cash of 1.1 billion reals. an increase of 36.6% as compared to December 31st, 2014, and 33.8% as compared to the same period in 2014. In the second quarter of 2015, the effect of the foreign exchange rate was positive by 33.1 million, and the gross revenues from exports dropped 14.6% before considering the effect of the foreign exchange rate, and grew 17.6% after we considered the effect of the foreign exchange rate. With the positive results, we reinforce what we've been saying in previous years. We will keep our focus on strengthening our brands, operational excellence, and in building closer relationships with our sales channels, and to improve margins too. Towards that direction, Melissa Club opened more than 10 new stores this quarter, which added to 177 existing stores on March 31st, now totals 187 stores with very good performance, playing their role of making Melissa present in strategic markets. TOG, our furniture business, started operations in late 2014, has arrived to Brazil with the opening with a flagship store in São Paulo on May the 20th. We should admit that this was not the best timing to start sales in the country amidst the generalized crisis we are going through. But we still are assessing the evolution of the business, aware that it's still we still have a long way to go in terms of reaching the size and relevance that we expect. It's important to remind you, as we said earlier this year, that our furniture business will not break even in 2015, and we consider it is still too early to talk about future prospects. The results of the first half of 2015 were very good in spite they were below our expectations, which are always very high. In the opinion of the management, we consider the market scenario and the delivery of a growth of 32.4% in the net income as compared to the same period in the previous year has represented a significant victory considering the many difficulties that we dealt with and overcame. The results showed that the foundations have provided market share gains in the footwear market with good returns, and our advantages are a highlight at times of crisis. Scale production of attractive products with a high value perceived value, strong brands, affordable prices, low cost providing us profitability, efficient distribution, and great flexibility to capture value. Amongst the external values that affect our results, we have as a negative factor the lack or the slowdown in the economy, unemployment, and inflation. As positive factors, we have the favorable foreign exchange rate and a demand centered more on low-ticket products that suffer a smaller influence of credit as compared to other consumption products. In the first quarter, we said that we were waiting a worsening of the recession in the country with some elements that could affect Wendania's bottom lines, as they have indeed. Even though we are still worried about unemployment, which affects directly the income of consumers on the basis of consumption pyramid, and in our expectation it should get worse in the second half of the year, our perception is that overall economic conditions, especially in the footwear industry, will not get any worse in the second half of 2015. In other words, we expect a scenario that even though economy will not grow, it will stop getting worse. As you know, our business is related to the natural seasonality of our fashion products, and the demand for our products increases in the second half of the year when our chances of having good results are higher than in the first half of the year. Therefore, we are going to position ourselves to face or to deal with this economic environment, and our expectation still is to obtain in 2015 better results than we had in 2015, and it was reinforced by the results we retained in the first half, gaining market share with a little drop in volume, which may even be below the 200 million pairs for the whole year, have the right mix, including pricing and improving margins, especially net margin, will continue to be our challenges for this year. The pressure on revenue caused by a lower demand and in products because of a reduction in Reintegra from 3 to 1% as of March 2015. PIS/COFINS from 4.65 of financial expenses as of July the 1st, 2015, and the possible relief in the payroll, tax relief in the payroll, will certainly be a greater challenge. Based on these prospects, Grendene has a reasonable expectation to be able to reach the targets announced for the period 2018. Just as a reminder, the growth in the gross revenue between 8 and 12% and the growth in net income between 12 and 15% for the entire period 2018.
Well, that's what I had to say. Thank you very much. We may now proceed to the questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin our Q&A session. To pose a question, please press star 1. To remove a question from the line, press star 2. Kindly do not use the speaker's phone to ask your question so you can have more quality of audio. Please hold. Our first question comes from Alan Cardoso, Safra Bank. Good morning, Schmidt and everyone. Actually, I have a few questions. Can you talk to us about the sell-out in the second quarter and what do you expect for sell-in and sell-out in July, considering the domestic market and the foreign market, if possible, please? Well, sell-in, what we see today is that retail is more cautious now. We don't have any abnormal stock in our distribution chain in the retail market. So we don't have the mismatch that we saw between sell-in and sell-out at the end of the first quarter. But buyers remain cautious. They're buying more often and in shorter terms. And this is what we can see in the market. It's what I mentioned. The market is moving slowly. But apparently, it's better now. Well, to the effect that it's not getting worse. As we saw in the first half, we had worse news week after week, but today we can see that it's more stable, at lower levels, but stable. So the way we see the market is that it's not going to be easy until the end of the year. It's not going to recover, but it's going to be a more predictable market. Excellent, Schmidt. My second question is marketing and advertising, okay? And it's lower now. So is it just a matter of phase now? Can we expect increase in investments in advertising in the next quarters or not because of the market? I know that you usually more likely to spend more in advertising and marketing the second half. So what can we expect from the second half of 2015? Our target is to be between 8 and 10% of the net revenue for the entire year, not per quarter. And in the last few years, it's been closer to 8 than 10. And any mismatches that we may see is just a matter of phase now. So we end up changing the allocation of our expenses, but we don't expect any changes that should affect that. Of course, with lower revenues, we spend more, or invest more in advertising, but proportionally we tend to maintain the 8%. But is that a more long-term goal? It's a policy of ours. In the guidance, we determined that that would be the expenses or the investment in marketing. So that's what we expect to do, or we expect to be around that. And these expenses are totally under our control, but we cannot control the market, how much we're going to sell. So that's why eventually we may change this percentage. But if you consider the last 10 years, we have stayed within these limits. But please correct me if I'm wrong, or either you're not finding opportunities to spend, or you're not feeling that it's worth investing in it, considering the scenario of the market. Although your target is around 8%, perhaps we won't necessarily see that this year because it's an unusual year. Can I say that? I mean, not considering exactly the percentage, but percentage this year may be lower or not, or are you, or have you decided to invest despite the market conditions? Well, of course, if we don't see any appealing opportunities or a good timing, I'm not going to spend on advertising just for the sake of it. We just spend on what we believe will drive our sales. Of course, if the sales are dropping, well, again, we'll try to maintain the percentage and an absolute, but in absolute values, you know, it's lower. But of course, we have to consider media opportunities. Yes, you're right about that. Sometimes they come faster. It's not only media or marketing opportunities. We have to see how timely it is for us to make the investments in advertising. So the percentage may be a bit lower, but it's going to remain around these levels. I understand. Okay. So when you consider media expenses, I know there is the institutional one and the one that is focused on the sales of products. So are you considering the sales of the quarter or of 6 months? What is the time for the return that you consider? Well, I'm afraid I cannot answer this question. From our end, we spend on media to promote our products, but if the result is per quarter or not, there's no way for us to capture these effects in the market. In fact, the media fits two purposes. First, it has to convince store owners to buy, and consumers will only buy if the products are at the stores. And if the company believes in the products and is making an effort, the shop owners also believe in that. The second purpose is to attract consumers to stores so that the shops can sell. So that promotes the products, the name of the company, retailers. So many of these expenses are not only for TV. There's a lot of promotion in the point of sales also. There's a lot of things. So it's very well directed. And this strategy as to how to split that, we cannot disclose that to the market, I'm afraid. But you've been very helpful. Thank you. Now, there is a point that struck me. Is the average price for exported goods, it went up, but in dollars, it fell 3%. What is the rationale here? Is that the mix, or is it clients that are asking for discounts because of the exchange rate? Well, it's two things. Yes, with a better exchange rate, buyers put pressure in order to profit from that. And secondly, bear in mind that the sales in the second quarter, you know, regarding exports, is basically for the southern hemisphere. And for us, the strongest market is Latin America, which is facing the same problems regarding the slowdown in the economy as we are. So really, in these markets, we have the effect of migration for lower ticket products, you know, in dollars. So we can see this movement, just like what happened in the domestic market in the first quarter. Yes, I wasn't aware that the second quarter was southern hemisphere. So it has to do with the geography, right? Our products sell more in the summertime. So at the end of the year, in the fourth quarter, in the beginning of the first quarter, we've been exporting for the summertime of the northern hemisphere. So the products will be at the stores by July in the northern hemisphere. And in the second quarter, exports drop considerably vis-a-vis the first quarter. We can see a drop of 50% in the volume of exports. So then we are more concentrated in faster deliveries in the southern hemisphere. That's why we experience the seasonality effect. I understand, Schmidt, perfect. Another point that struck me is that your average price increased in the year on year. It's interesting because although the economy was slower, you managed to work with a richer mix, right? So can you tell me which categories are doing better and why the products with a higher average price are performing better? Well, it's hard to explain that. It's hard to predict what consumers do. Even for us, it's surprising to see that consumers of higher added value products, they've bought more than products that have a lower added value. Perhaps it has to do with the climate, when it's colder, when it's not. Winter products are more expensive. So if the summer months are longer, then different products are sold. It's difficult for us to explain the behavior of consumers. And in regarding product categories, of course, at this time of year, but again, it's seasonal. It's not only for this year. We see a reduction in basic summer products like Ipanema or even Rider. Melissa is a line that has more products for this time of year, and it also drives prices. But it's hard to explain because our mixed supply is full from low price to high prices, but we cannot predict many times what consumers will choose. We cannot explain why consumers have behaved a certain way. Of course, we gear all the efforts to understand that, to include that in our strategy.
I understand. Thank you very much. I thank you for your answers. Thank you, Alan. Our next question comes from Guilherme Moura, Brazil, from Banco Fator. Good morning, Schmidt. Thank you for the opportunity of my asking a question. As last year, in the first half of the year, there was a drop in volume, but you kept the volumes for the second half of the year because you thought that was that sales would be better. Are you thinking of doing the same, and are you thinking of working with more idle capacity, and should we be expecting a smaller margins for the second half? Well, I'm not sure I understand your question very well. Could you please rephrase it? I'm sorry, I didn't really understand. In the first half last year, there was a drop in volume. And with that, and in spite of that, you kept production. You didn't stop your machine so that in the fourth quarter, you could increase sales without losing any margin. My question now, are you expecting now a weaker fourth quarter than last year because of the economic scenario? And for that reason, would you then work with more idle capacity? No. We're not expecting. Well, we hardly ever end the year with idle capacity because of the seasonality. If you look in terms of inventory, you will see that our inventory was even slightly better than it was last year at this time. So there was no change with that regard. Always at this time of the year, in the second quarter, we manufacture some of the products that we will deliver at the end of the year so that we have a better use of our capacity in the second quarter. And then we do not affect adversely our COGS because of a smaller production. But now we are sticking to that strategy. We are not changing this. And I repeat, our expectation for the second half of the year is not worse. We don't think it's going to get any worse. We don't expect any deterioration in terms of idle capacity. We're not expecting to have idle capacity towards the end of the year. Thank you very much, Mr. Schmidt. As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Mr. Alan Cardoso from Banco Safra. Well, thank you for allowing me to ask a new question. There are three points that I would like to check with you. First of all, how was the summer-spring collection received in Francal, the trade show? And what about orders? Well, we can't say much about orders, but let's talk about Francal. Francal, the trade show, well, it was good. They received us well. They were enjoying or liking our products. we didn't have any thing. The drop in volume that we've been seeing so far, and I say again that this drop was smaller than the drop in the overall market, and because of that, we believe we've won market share. It's not because our products were not good or that given product didn't convince. It's much more related to the overall economic scenario. The products that we displayed in Frankel that are already being sold, were not criticized or anything that would lead us to replace products or to take out a product. We do believe that we have a strong collection, that we are on the right track. To deal with or to have a good performance in this quarter, what I've been saying about the market, and I find it important to clarify, when we have a few internal processes when we review our sales projections. When I say that there is an overall deterioration in our economy and the market, are they situated every week? We see the prospects and reviews, and numbers are being reviewed down. So things are difficult, and our expectations are being frustrated on a weekly basis. When we don't have any macroeconomic model to forecast the overall economy. So whenever we see that the market, and when we get our forecast right, this week is good or not, we can see that we have reached some stability. And that's what we are doing right now. The market is difficult. Yes, it is. But in spite of that, we are meeting our sales targets. I can't say much more about this. So right now, we are in a better position than we were in the second quarter when our expectations were being frustrated every week. Today, we are getting our sales forecast right, which makes our operation more efficient. Thank you. And according to your new sales expectations, how long have you been adapting your structure in terms of the production capacity and forecasts? In terms of sales today, the company costs are within a level that makes sense. Can you still gain more efficiency along 2015? How do you see that? The numbers are showing that we are continuously gaining efficiency. And even against all forecasts, gaining efficiency, as we say, when you're going down the hill, it's difficult. So when the economy is at a slowdown, as we see with everything dropping, and we're gaining efficiency, we really praise our internal team for that. Obviously, in the future, there are two components related to efficiency. One, we can't control. That's the market. Well, the market is the market, and we always try to be better than the market. Everything we can control, we've been doing very year and year and year. We've been improving our efficiency in the manufacturing of shoes. So this goes from the design of our products. We want good-looking, attractive products, cheap to manufacture, easy to manufacture, manufacturable, as we say, up to the floor of the factory. We have a concern in terms of improving processes. And even when apparently we have reached our limits, we try to get even better. That is very clear for us. that you try to get better, improve in terms of productivity. It's really amazing. That's why I asked this question. Now, changing gears and then trying to close about TOG's EBITDA for the second quarter and the flagship with regards to the second half of May, and this would exert more pressure on your... what about TOG's EBITDA for the second quarter, and how much will it affect your third quarter numbers? So our company, 3NP as a whole, was 7 million reals. 42.5% regards Green Denny. So this is the impact that they are having, and this will continue. If on one hand there are expenses, there is no expense in terms of building the flagship that was in the first half. Today, unfortunately, we cannot say much more about this because this is very new, very recent. The numbers are not really consistent right now. And I must say that this is slightly above what we had expected, but it's nothing is a big surprise. We weren't expecting that we would have positive results so soon as we started operations this year. In the quarter, we had a quite reasonable gain from the variation in foreign exchange rate that impacts your financial performance. How do you explain that? So exposure to the foreign currency? Well, this happens to hedge operations. If you look at the first 6 months, you will see that the total result of our hedge operations is 3 million. So it's tending towards zero. So sometimes a little bit less or more, and they compensate each other, and this is the nature of hedging operations. What I can say is that we never sold more dollars than products to ship, so we do not speculate with a foreign exchange rate. Whenever we sell a foreign exchange, we sell dollars, so all the dollars that we sell, we either have already ship the products where you're just about to ship in the next few days. This mismatch between shipping or boarding and the dollar rate, they annul or they set off each other with time. So thank you very much for answering my questions and congratulations on your performance. Our next question comes from Mauricio Ramani from Magno Capital. Good morning. Could you comment your strategy in terms of volume and export mix when we take the exchange rate into account? Can you increase the exports of lower value-added items because of the exchange rate, the higher foreign exchange rate? So our policy is to export everything we want to export with good profit and a reasonable safety or security. This is translated when the exchange rate is at the level it is today, and of course, what I said to 330, 329 that the dollar has reached over the past few days. But this enables certain product segments that we weren't exporting because we thought that the risk of loss was significant because there was not much room in terms of price because of the exchange rate. Once we have a more favorable foreign exchange rate, we have more freedom of action and we can export more. When the real was 170 per dollar, and then we go up. So as the flood comes, we go up the hill. So we were selling higher value-added products in a smaller volume because the simpler products have very narrow margins, and any variation in the foreign exchange rate will eat up our profit. Once we have a more favorable exchange rate, we can advance more towards simpler products. This is a strategy that we can resort to. It's always an option, and we depend on the market in terms of negotiating with each customer whenever possible. Thank you. As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press star one. Question comes from Atender Batia from Bayer Asset Management.
I have two questions. The first is to do with the dividend payout policy in the most recent quarter as well as the previous quarter. We noticed that there's been a slight pickup in not just the dividend, but also the dividend payout ratio from the same time about a year ago. And I was just wondering if you could please comment on that, perhaps in relationship to cash flows, capex, and investment requirements. That's the first question. The second question is to do with a previous question that was asked about the inventory position. And I believe you mentioned that the inventory position has improved from a year ago or from perhaps the previous quarter. I'm not sure which one of the two you were referring to. But when I look at the number here, I do notice that the inventory position is higher, as well as on a number of days of inventory basis is also higher. So could you please clarify what you're referring to with regard to inventory when you mentioned that the inventory position is better than in the previous reported period? Thank you very much.
Well, let me first start by answering the issue of inventory. I might not have been too clear. Well, I didn't say it's better. It's greater, bigger, precisely as you say, as you're saying. The question that had been asked then, every time, we always, in the second quarter, because of seasonality, we produce to build inventory. Grandany basically only manufactures on orders. So everything we manufacture has already been ordered, except for the second quarter. And when we have a lower activity in the year, we manufacture something for inventory. And that's what I was saying. So I was saying that our inventory was higher. We were keeping the policy he was referring to. And we do that because, once again, because of seasonality, we have a peak in Q4. And oftentimes, we need to pay overtime in the fourth quarter to meet our orders, which doesn't make sense because in the second quarter, you have idle capacity in the factory and then you have to pay overtime in the fourth quarter. This is the rationale. So I have a bigger inventory, not necessarily better. With regard to our dividend payout and going back to the inventory still, you need to be careful when you look at times, inventory days and inventory turnover in a company such as Grandany. Because of seasonality, if you look at the one quarter alone, even year on year, there are some discrepancies or some distortions. You can see that our accounts receivable reaches a peak in December. And then it drops. And that's why our cash generation in the first half of the year, we had a profit of about 200 million and a cash generation of 439 million. Where does cash come from? Well, basically comes from the reduction of accounts receivable. Whose peak occurred in December and at the end of the second quarter, which is the trough, accounts receivable is lower. Inventory is the opposite, and cash too. So you can see that our cash has a peak in June and then it drops at the end of the year because the cash is converted into accounts receivable. Inventory has a peak in June, and in December, it's smaller. And this is the mechanics of our operation in considering seasonality. With regards to dividends, our dividend policy, the one I'm mentioning that was adopted in February 13, 2014, is of distributing as dividends all profits that were not generated from tax incentives. Therefore, we do not fix a payout. So every profit that doesn't come from tax incentives becomes dividend and we pay. So sometimes that's why sometimes it's more or less, and that's why there is a variation in payout. And normally, what I announce to the market is about 40 and 50%.
Thank you very much. That is very clear.
Have I answered your questions?
Yes, thank you very much. It's very clear.
A reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. We're now closing our Q&A session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Francisco Schmidt for his closing remarks. The results of the first half of 2015 were good, which encourages us to improve more and more our business model and to deliver continuous profits with the regularity that our shareholders are used to. This profitability, considering the cash status and the good dividends we've been paying out, are the trademarks of Grandene, which you want to preserve, and we will do our best in order to deliver that. Thank you all very much. The conference call of Grandene has now ended. We thank you all for your participation, and we wish you a good day. Thank you very much for using Chorus Call.